You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson Show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We are going to reschedule locale for 30 minutes from now. So at bottom of the hour, they're having a couple of logistics issues, as we like to say, but they'll be on very, very soon at the bottom of the hour. Remember, District 1 at pima.gov, it's Rex Scott's email. You better please nicely and strongly tell him not to rubber stamp Huckleberry's contract. So, again, Matt Hines, I'm sure him and I are going to disagree on a whole bunch of stuff before it's all over. I mean, we already do. But he has at least shown that he is not a Chucky fan. And again, if you just missed it, the Valerie Cavazos story that the Pima Federation of Labor, AXFME maybe, and somebody else just came out and they said they want Huckleberry gone. Don't. It's not please renew and keep him at the same salary. They just want him gone. I don't think they've ever done that before. They haven't done that in a long time. So we know Sharon and Bronson are there. Now, of course, you know, Noah, sometimes Noah can be mildly pessimistic, but he said, well, you're hoping Rex is a lost hope. Well, we got to try. Hopefully he just does the right thing because it's the right thing for the region. If you quietly talk to folks who really get it in this community, who they won't say it in public, and they're not, and if it's a business person that doesn't benefit from a county contract or friendly rezones or something like that, they will tell you that they would like Chuck gone. They don't want him there. He is an egotistical narcissist. That's probably redundant. But a narcissistic blowhard that just basically is a major roadblock to getting things done in the county. The other thing that's interesting too on the county side is that if you remember in the old days, there was a big thing that brought up where we had, let's see, there's a memo on Chucky's administrator page. This is about the employees can't donate to county candidates because that's something they could do and violates employee civil rights. Allie Miller did ask Leach to request an opinion from the AG, and Captain Nunchuck said that it does violate the U.S. and Arizona constitutions. And then when the opinion came in December, Huck was defiant, said he would keep the policy. Hines replied that he actually agreed with the Attorney General, it sounds like. So now that's going to be on the next agenda. So that's going to be another one out there. And so that's another one that sounds like Matt Hines has also already went against Huck on. So again, I'll tell you, Matt Hines will piss you off before it's all over, but right now on a couple of things, he is literally going against Huckleberry, which we haven't had from a Democrat like in a long time. So we shall see. Remember, Dish, I need you to email nicely and strongly Rex Scott, District 1 at pima.gov. And we'll see what happens.
Chris, so, is that the number one or O-N-E?
It is the number one. Well played. Good question. Good question, sir. So we heard on the news, Biden unveiled his almost $2 trillion. That's going to be our next sound drive. We got to have Mike Myers. $2 trillion coronavirus plan. Now, what's in there, of course, is we have to, you know, is 300 again? Where's the money coming from? Right. We're just going to keep printing it, borrowing it, whatever we're doing. $350 billion to state and local governments. Now, is that an overpay to help them bail them out of their other stuff? Because I'm telling you, this is what a lot of them were hoping for with an all-Democrat Congress and a president. $170 billion for K through 12 and colleges. The colleges are going to get... You know, I was at the U of A yesterday. I had a great lunch at the Sands Club with Joey Erceg over there. And I saw Adam and the crew. And I saw one person with a backpack walking into the library. I felt so good because that was like the most students I've ever seen walking around the U of A the last so many times I've been to the Sands Club. We're gonna do another $1,400 on top of the $600, and we're gonna be doing. Check this out. This is. We're gonna do the $400 weekly kicker onto your unemployment. So the problem with that is, again, is it's a disincentive for people to get back into the workforce. So, I mean, this is what was happening. I've had plenty of local employers tell me that they had people who said, well, I can come, as business levels were getting better and they can come back and get 40 hours, well, I'm making more money on the unemployment. This is part of the Democrat dream, right? We got more people making more money not working. Okay. So again, I think what's Arizona is what, 300 a week? I think it's 300 a week. You guys can let me know. I forgot to look it up again. But I'm going to call it 200, 250 a week. Let's go 250, right? So now Biden wants to kick in 400 a week of a enhanced unemployment. 650 times 52. So you would be making, if it's 250, that's 34,000 a year on unemployment. So what we're saying is, now if you're the household income in Pima County is 45, so yeah, if you had two people who, you know, a couple, they could literally make 15,000, they can make $1,000 more a month or more not working. Well, how the hell does that work? But wait, there's more. He wants to hike the minimum wage to 15. So, like my tease in the first one, right, is enjoy having less jobs available. Enjoy being replaced by automation. And I guess we'll have more. We'll just extend the unemployment benefit for people who can't get a job. So, you know, Hoffman's going to be on next week. And Jonathan Hoffman, when he was writing for Ninsel's Rag there for a little bit on the range, wrote one of the best pieces ever about the reality of the minimum wage. So one of the things that fell out of Biden's pie hole about the minimum wage was he said, well, no one should work out a job and be below poverty level, right? And they always say... it's come back to me now. Oh, they always give you that one thing. You got the single mom with the two or three kids working in McDonald's, and she shouldn't, you know, she can't support herself on that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to break, and let's play Dr. Evil first. This is more important. Here we go. There it is. Thank you. Yeah, this is how ridiculous it sounds when we throw around all this $1.9 trillion. I'm going to find the old Hoffman piece, and I'm going to throw out some of the stats on that for you that he did a great job on. And let's do that when we come back, and we'll also talk about how restaurateurs in New York had a great victory over the miserable Governor Cuomo. So, 7:16 in the morning, Christy Simone, Tommy Callahan, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Oh my Lord God, Frank Stallone, you the man. All right, we're doing an Italian Friday in honor of Locale coming, or maybe it's Locale. I'll have to ask them when they get here. And then, of course, my teaching my Italian table cooking class at flyingapronstucson.com tonight, doing a little fettuccine and some shrimp scampi, as we like to say. So Joe Biden is giving out the AOC Rahina dream, which is the 15, he's throwing out the $15 minimum wage. And I found this piece. I'll post it up and I'll send it to you. You can look it up. I'll just send it to you. It's easier. Just email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Friend of the show, Jonathan Hoffman. He'll be here on Thursday to discuss some stuff out there. Had this great piece. This is from 5 years ago. Hoffman, head of the curve, baby. It's called The Fight. He says, fight the fight for 15. SEIU union leading the charge with the Progressive Democrats of America. Apparently wages, prices, and other economic stuff do not find their levels through the laws of economics and free market forces. So a better approach would be use the MIT living wage calculator for Tucson. Not making this up, he says, a prospective employee who applies at McDonald's can check the box that describes his household and his wage will be set. Everyone who works hard will be able to support his family. But what I want to do is get into, first of all, he quotes one of my favorite guys ever, Thomas Sowell, Dr. Thomas Sowell from the Hoover Institute. So what happens is, speaking of law of the man, what happens if entry-level fast food wages are artificially bumped up to $15? Well, according to the law of demand, as prices go up, demand goes down. Fewer people will be employed. More importantly, those will be retained or newly hired will be generally higher skilled and experienced to meet the demands of the higher wage. As a result, those low-skilled, inexperienced workers, Biden and Rahina and AOC want to help, that's my words, will be shut out of the labor market. They'll be denied the opportunity to learn work habits and skills on the job. It's actually more sinister than that. Thomas Sowell notes, quote, last year when black unemployment rate was lower than white unemployment was 1930, the last year before the federal minimum wage law. The following year, the Davis-Bacon Act of 31 was passed requiring minimum wage in the construction industry. This was a response to complaints that construction companies with non-union black construction workers were able to underbid construction companies with unionized white workers, unquote. If you ever wonder why the AFL-CIO supports increasing minimum wage when its members already earn well in excess wage, now you know. So let's get to some of the numbers, okay? So what we say is, they always say again, is that minimum wage, right? So the Employment Policy Institute has the breakdown. In 2006, 14% of minimum wage recipients were raising a family on that minimum wage. Now, when we've had this discussion before in the past, Tia Gloria, our human resources expert here at Wake Up Tucson, will tell you that, first of all, she hates the word minimum wage. It should be starting/training wage. Because if you're still making the same wage when you first started at any of those kind of starting wage jobs, 3 months later, there's a problem. If you're doing a good job, you should be able to get off of that, quote, starting minimum wage, training wage sooner, right? If you're still making that a year later, either you have a problem or your employer has a problem, all right? So 14%, the remaining 86% of people making minimum wage were teenagers living with their parents, adults living alone, or dual earner married couples. So the average household income for someone who's a minimum wage learner is just under $50,000. So how about that 14%, the people who are actually struggling? First, the good news is that 2/3 of those workers get a raise in the first so many months, so they're not trapped where they are. And then, of course, there's earned income tax credits for people in that situation. Okay. So I think the biggest thing is when you hear the reasons why we should have a minimum wage and they talk about they always go back to the single mom with the three kids. It's really not, that's a rarity. Statistically, that there's one parent raising two or three kids working at McDonald's. That's not happening. So when they tell you that, now you're a little bit more educated to say bullcrap, as we like to say. Now, let's get to the, I would usually say in the old days, the state of New York. It hasn't been great for quite a while. I think they need to do a Make New York Great Again, a Minga, something like that. This is from Jordan Lancaster. This is from the Daily Caller. The group of restaurants won a lawsuit on Wednesday challenging Cuomo's coronavirus restrictions, meaning they will be allowed to reopen for business. The restaurants argued that the governor's restrictions prohibiting them from offering indoor dining were arbitrary and not based on evidence related to coronavirus. Judge Henry Nowak agreed, writing in his decision, that the New York State Department of Health used unreliable contact tracing data to determine where areas were put under restrictions. We keep telling you the contact tracing's a joke. And every time you take these bureaucrats to court, they're starting to lose more and more. This is why I feel good about the Grant Kruger Cobra Arcade Highwire lawsuit against the county. I can't wait for the county to show a judge what their data was to do a quote 10 o'clock, curfew. Most of Erie County, that's in upstate. How close is Erie County to where you're at?
Buffalo is Erie County.
Oh, so you are an Erie County kid.
Yes.
All right. So I wasn't sure if it was a little lower or not. So, okay. So Erie County, where the restaurants filed the lawsuit, were located. We're in an orange zone. Under the zone, restaurant and bars were prohibited from serving food or beverages on site.
There's no stopping in the white zone.
Thank you.
Loading and unloading.
The judge found that Cuomo and the Department of Health, quote, did not identify any clusters requiring that status within the designated area. Parts of the Erie yellow precautionary zone met the metrics and transitioned to the... Oh, this is exactly what you're talking about, the orange zone to the yellow zone. It's like that WKRP when they got to go visit someone in the hospital and the lady goes, well, how do I get to that room? Well, you do the red line to the white line to the yellow line. I feel like I'm doing that right now. So this is back to the judge. For the petitioners, the restaurants, the effect of this change in designation was dramatic. As a result of the prohibition of all indoor dining in this new zone, thousands of employees have been laid off and the petitioners have suffered financial losses to a point where their bars and restaurants will need to close, unquote. So I'm telling you, these folks cannot... These bureaucrats, they actually, the science and data, when they close everyone down or they restrict you and they say we're using science and data, whenever we get to a court of law, that more and more the science and data is not holding up. So let's go to bill number two on line 77. Bill, what's up, buddy?
Good morning. Before I get started, that judge in New York just had his far-left union card revoked. What do you think?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Well, you're right about the minimum wage. The it was never designed to be something to live on. It was basically, as Tia said, it's a training wage, so a person can get their foot in the economic door and learn some skills and some things that need to be dealt, you know, have for to be an employee. But that's been changed all. It's changed all. But I come at it from a slightly different point of view on this minimum wage thing. I come at it from a moral point of view, and I've said this before on your show, but it really is it. When
you got about 30 seconds, just tell you,
I can sum it up. When someone doesn't have any skin in the game, and they can come in and tell you what you got to do, what you have to pay, and they have no risk in that business, that's immoral. All right.
Amen.
See you guys.
All right, Bill. Now we're going to keep our eyeballs out for locale. We know they're on the way. So, well, hopefully we're going to have them on in the next segment here. So Food Friday with Locale Italian Restaurant Bakery. Wake up Tucson, 10:30 voice. All right. Welcome back to an Italian Friday here at Wake Up Tucson. We're playing songs about Italy, kind of about Italy, by Italians. Italian-Americans are doing it up today. I got my Italia World Cup Italian soccer shirt, football shirt on today. I'm doing a class with Michelle from Flying Aprons tonight online at 5:30. I know a bunch of you are joining us. Can't wait to see you. I'm going to be doing fettuccine alfredo, shrimp scampi, garlic bread, drinking vino, and telling stories, as we like to say. So join me tonight. And then we got Deborah and Nick on the line right now. Good morning to both of you. And they are the owners of Locale. Am I supposed to say it Italian wise or just say Locale? What do I say?
So we like to say Locale.
Ah, thank you very much. I wasn't sure. So Locale.
Locale. That's it.
And you guys are in this one of the most amazing restaurant buildings in the city of Tucson over there on Broadway and Alvernon. Let's talk about what were you guys doing before this project, and then how did you get into this amazing building?
Would you like to go, Deborah, or me?
Let's start with Deborah, and then this is like sharing time at the campfire. I like this.
Exactly. So, you know, we own Contigo restaurants.
Yep.
And so we've been doing that for the last 5 years. And I actually live in the neighborhood where the old house is that we're in, and have, you know, watched it over the years as Old Pueblo Grill, and was always interested in it. And then the owners of the property approached us and asked us if we'd be interested in opening a restaurant there. So that's how we got into the space.
And Contigo, of course, is up at the La Paloma. And we've actually had a couple of our events there, and you guys have always done an amazing job. So we did our 10th anniversary party at your place.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Outside in the cold. It was great fun.
It was perfect. It was beautiful. A little booze and a little fire pit. We're happy folks. So tell us about, Contigo, of course, Latin kitchen. Talk about the move into Italian cuisine and how you guys, it looks like, you know, the way the menu and how you're doing it is a little different than the average place in Tucson. Let's go to Nick on that one.
Well, we thought that there was a need for an Italian restaurant in central Tucson. A lot of the focus for new restaurants have been downtown or the foothills where we're currently at with Contigo. But both Deborah and I live central, and we love the property. And when we looked around, we thought that Italian would fit really well. It's a nice, familiar cuisine for many people, and it lends to the fact that families can get together and you can have a nice, enjoyable, casual experience. And so far it's been received really well.
And that location has possibly one of the greatest patios inside the city limits of Tucson.
Can't argue with you on that.
You want to follow along at localetucson.com. That's the word local with an E and then tucson.com. So let's talk about it. It says all day trattoria. And then I also see the idea that there's a bakery. So explain the bakery concept.
So, you know, it's a big space. It's over 8,000 square feet. And when, you know, it was opened as Lunt Avenue Marble Club, I don't know how many years ago, you know, restaurants were always that big. They were, you know, you could build an 8,000 square foot restaurant. It's hard to do that these days. So our idea with the space is kind of to divide it up. So the first half opened in December, and that's the trattoria, that's the Italian restaurant part. The other half that's opening will be sort of a cafe or bakery side with lighter fare, coffee, cappuccino, you know, brioche, little sandwiches to get, things of that sort. So it's actually two different restaurants in one space.
So I remember when it was Old Pueblo Grill. So you're talking about the part that's in the back that used to be the bar. Is that now the bakery wine bar?
Correct. So that's the bakery wine bar.
So tell me about the bakery side. What are you guys offering up in the bakery?
So it's not open yet. It'll open in a couple of weeks. But okay. We will have all kinds of pastries, cakes, and then some breakfast dishes, panettini, which are like little, you know, like bruschetta, kind of like bread with toppings on them, eggs and bacon. And we're doing cured salmon. I'm trying to think what else. But sort of, you know, lighter kind of brunch fare, quiche and salads and things like that. And then that side will also have food to go. So if you want to pick up lasagna to go home, it'll have that on that side as well.
So talk about what kind of Italian cuisine as you guys are building the actual, and there's some great classics on here. I mean, I'm having the meatballs right now and they're great. Tell me about building the Italian, you know, the actual, what dishes did you choose and why?
You know what? I mean, it doesn't particularly stick to any one region in Italy.
Okay.
I lived for quite a while in Liguria in the north and in the Piedmont region. So there are some dishes from there, like our panzotti, which is a sort of typical ravioli from the north. But then there are dishes from all over Italy. And then just some sort of kind of more mainstream American food with some Italian touches. So, like, we have a burger on our menu. We use Fiscalini cheddar, which is an Italian family that lives in Northern California, produces that cheddar cheese. So just so that there's kind of taste for everyone. Sort of kind of a place that you could go and there's a little bit of something for everybody there.
And I can see that, right? Because you have some of these, you know, a little more different dishes, but then sitting in front of me is a beautiful chunk of lasagna. So, which for us Goombas, that's part of the ultimate Italian comfort food.
Yeah.
Tell us about doing pizza.
Nick, do you want to talk about pizza?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, our pizzas are a little bit different than a lot of the pizzerias that have popped up recently. It's a Roman-style pizza. So the dough is on the wetter side, which makes it almost a cross between a focaccia and a pizza dough. We're cooked in rectangle pans, and then we serve pieces by the rectangle. That way you can order one, two, three different pieces for the table and try a number of different flavors, and it can be shared really nicely.
Well, and I'm, you know, first of all, the idea, I don't think anyone's doing Roman pizza in Southern Arizona, which is cool that you went that way. I've always been a lover of, I'm a New York guy, so I always love, Sicilian pizza is always my favorite in New York, so anything that's in a square rectangle shape is always in my wheelhouse. I love the fact that you have a country bacon slice.
Well, you know, it's kind of, both Nick and I, we have little kids, and so it's kind of nice that you can go and have a grown-up slice of pizza, you know, maybe like the pear gorgonzola with arugula, and then you can have, then the kids can have a margherita pizza, you know, a tomato mozzarella, so.
And tell me about the, you know, back on the bakery coffee bar, is that something that when that opens, will that be open earlier than 11:30?
Yes, it'll open at about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah. For a guy like me who's, I'm only down the street from you guys, I'm always looking for that place to go have a cup of coffee sometimes when I'm waiting to go do another appointment later in the day. And sitting on your patio with a cup of coffee and something is very attractive to a Goomba like me, so. I love it. So again, Locale, Neighborhood Italian. It's on Alvernon, just north of Broadway. So for you guys doing this restaurant, what was the challenge of going into this space? Because it's like be careful what you ask for, right? It's so beautiful and so big. Talk about the challenges of going into this space.
Well, under normal circumstances, it would be difficult. That's what Deborah alluded to. We wanted it. Break up the space into different restaurants, the bakery and the full service dining. Add to that a global pandemic and shutdowns and curfews and everything else. there's been no challenges at all. It's been great.
No. My thing is not about that in relation to just the space itself, because it's so big and so varied. That's that. I understand all that, though, too, Nick. So,
as far as the space itself, it's been, you know, it has worked out beautifully because it lends to safe dining. There's wonderful patio space where everyone can feel comfortable and kids can run around and burn some energy while parents are enjoying themselves. The interior is large enough to safely distance quite a few people. And, you know, looking back, it was a little eerie as far as square footage. Now it is about as optimal as one could imagine.
That's awesome. All right. So the question I ask people when they come on the show is, you guys get two, you get to give me two apiece, is I need two of your favorite locally owned restaurants that are not places that you own or operate. Let's start with Deborah.
Oh, okay. Well,
you giggled first, so I get you.
Boy, let's see. So I have to defer to my kid's favorite place, which is funny because it's right down the street, but Rocco's Pizza.
We love Rocco.
So, yeah. And yeah, my girls absolutely adore his food. So that's a go-to for us for sure. Let me think. Where else do we go?
You can give me more than two if you want.
There are lots of favorites. I know what Nick is going to say. I'm trying to think what my favorites are. You know, I'm really partial to there's a Mediterranean near our house named Zina. And I love their food. So we go there pretty often.
Their chicken shawarma with the lentil pilaf is my favorite.
Right? So good.
It's got the caramelized onions on it and stuff. That's good living.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move over to Mr. Nick. What do you got, buddy?
Well, Deborah was going to allude to it, but I live central, and I've been in the hospitality business for a long time, and I like to eat later, so Kingfisher has always filled that void for me.
Sure.
Have a real meal and eat with a fork and knife after 10, which is something I enjoy. And then one that's coming out of left field that has really grabbed my attention lately is Noodleholics on Grant.
Okay.
With all this cold weather, there's been... I don't know. They have some amazing soups, and I love them.
Hopefully you just didn't rat out Murph to the Pima County curfew people on that line, so hopefully we're okay. So, just kidding.
we haven't been there recently.
Well played, Deborah. Well played. Again, congratulations on the new spot, LocaleTucson.com. They're on Alvernon, just north of Broadway. It's at Big Beautiful Lunt Marble Avenue, whatever, that beautiful building, just north of the Mexican Consul and the HSL offices over there. So, hey, you guys, all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great job on the food. It's very tasty. I'm going to bring Tom the giant chunk of lasagna. He needs that in his life. So, all right. Locale Tucson. Go to localetucson.com to find out more. Eat local. Life's too short to eat crap food. Wake up. Hey, now. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher DeSimone and you. We're doing an Italian Friday today. Really enjoyed my conversation with Nick and Deborah from Locale. The last thing I want to do is go back and talk about politics. Jeez, I'd rather just talk about Italian food. You know, the meatballs are really good. This chicken dish, I think it's a chicken piccata, really good. Polenta that it's on is great. Again, I gave Tommy the chunk of lasagna, so that'll be his breakfast and his lunch today. Oh, and then that chocolate peanut butter pie thing was I just gave you, that's yours too in there. So,
it greeted me when I opened the bag. We're already friends.
We had a good conversation on the Wastebook yesterday about some of those ingredients that you always have in your house, right? And because of my Italian, and I like cooking lots of different types of cuisines. I love doing Asian cuisine. Again, Lili's Oriental Market right next to the Filthy Pirate. That opened up my whole palette of doing Asian food. So it was really fun. We had that conversation of what are those things that are always in your pantry. And for me, if you said, oh, what's those, you know, this is going to sound like typical Goomba, right? Is a can of really good tomatoes. You know, the crushed tomatoes, diced and peeled in relation to how you're doing to make a lot of tomato sauce in my house. And so the buying, so there's one out of Italy called Cento, C-E-N-T-O, yellow can. The best place for the best price that I can get a Cento, and it's amazingly reasonable, is Walmart. I couldn't believe it. I was walking down the aisle. I don't know. I was looking for something else in there, and I said, oh my God, Walmart's got Cento tomatoes. That's unbelievable. And it was like $1.90 a can, which is like a ganga. That's like a super deal. Cento tomatoes at $1.90. So you can get them there. They're amazing. And then, of course, again, it sounds like a bad Italian movie. I always have to have garlic in the house. You know, you got to have your garlic. You got to have your fresh basil. Of course, you have to have olive oil. Very, very important. You know, with Asian stuff, I always have to have ginger in the house. You got to have a fresh and powdered ginger. If you're one of those people who haven't moved into fresh ginger when you're doing Asian food or something, make it happen. I also like feta cheese in the house. That's something. Parmesan and feta cheese and olive oil. I'm telling you, I'm sounding like a bad movie. Here's a couple other ones. Wendy from Chef Chic. She's a lot better at this than I am. Green olives, smoked Gouda cheese, poblano peppers, eggs, and bacon. That's all good. And I love poblano peppers. That is definitely my favorite. Devin Sanner, of course, he's three varieties of the Allium family. Garlic, onion, shallot, chives, scallions, any of those. Soy sauce or liquid aminos. I haven't done any liquid aminos, but I guess I should start getting into it. Rocco, I always got soy, fish sauce, and the like. More liquid aminos. I like Anna Henderson. I love Anna, right? And she's kind of like Midwestern gal. She's got that Nordic stock going for her. And, of course, she came to one of our happy hour Halloween parties dressed as a Viking, which was awesome. Not like the guy in the Capitol. That's a different Viking. So she says, heavy cream, lots of cheese, bacon, avocados, peanut butter. So once I saw heavy cream, and then one of our, Charlie Foley from Flags for the Flagless, he has, Lowensenf extra hot mustard. That's something else I got to go find out. Let's see, basil. Oh, Suzanne Wright. She came in last time. She came in and did her airing of grievances for an hour and a half. Sesame oil, truffle salt. Now, that's way above my pay grade, truffle salt. Fermented black beans, hatch green chilies, I'm there. Rice wine vinegar, got it. Preserved lemons is good. Eggs. Chicken thighs, I'd rather use chicken thighs than chicken breast any day. More flavorful. You can cook it in various ways. Doesn't dry out as quickly as a thigh. Charcuterie. It's so funny. Someone said the word charcuterie, and they put the meme of someone holding up a cardboard sign that says, remember, charcuteries are just giant snackables. I thought that was kind of funny. So, all right, when we come back, Tim Sandifer, Goldwater Institute. We have a variety of legal issues to talk about. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.